From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, 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 what is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, August 18, 2016, I trust that you all have been having one fabulous week. You are almost there. One more day until the weekend. Until then, we plan on having a ton of fun as the week winds down here on Current Sports. On today's show, Isaac Constance and myself, we actually took a trip down the street to the Michigan State Indoor Football Practice Facility at the Scandalera Center, where the Michigan State football team held morning practice just at 10 a.m. And head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, he addressed the media, giving us a brief update on how training camp is coming along before, of course, the first game takes place on September 2nd against Furman. You will get a chance to hear from Coach Mark D'Antonio, and this interview will have a small Motown flavor because, funny story, during practice today, today happens to be Motown Thursdays, and during practice they have just Motown music playing as they practice. So very cool stuff. So you get to hear from Coach D. We will also talk about breaking news concerning Ryan Lochte and the three other swimmers who said that they were robbed in Rio at the Rio de Janeiro Olympics as they exited the Olympic Village to, just have a night on the town. Well, that story seems to be false. Yeah, we'll bring that story to you. We'll also have an Olympic update in case you missed any of the action from Rio last night. And on the back end of the show, we will talk Detroit Lions preseason football as exhibition game numero dos will take place tonight as the Lions invite the Cincinnati Bengals to Ford Field. And yeah, we'll have a bit of Detroit Tigers talk as well as the Tigers were swept by the Kansas City Royals. That and so much more. Call in if you want to be a part of today's show. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, we now hit you with our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, as I mentioned, the Michigan State football team held morning practice today around 10 a.m. Before that practice, head coach Mark D'Antonio addressed us media members, and he shed light when it comes to missing freshman defensive lineman Cassius Pete, who has not been in fall camp just yet. Now, D'Antonio said that the 6'3", 270-pound Pete from Arizona was not suspended from the team, saying, quote, "Right now, Pete is sort of in flux. He's not suspended or anything like that. He continues to work on his academics and get himself in order. He's not been at practice." Again, you'll get to hear what Coach D'Antonio had concerning Pete. He'll elaborate on Pete later on in the show, as well as talk about a few other areas as his team moves forward in training camp. So don't miss that. Fresh off a Big Ten championship and an appearance, of course, in the college football playoff, the football team has allowed BTN, that's right, the Big Ten Network, behind the scenes access for green and white days inside Michigan State football training camp. The series premiere, get this, is set for tonight at 7 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. So it's sort of like Hard Knocks, but Michigan State football style. All right, gotta love that. Now, the three-show series will also be available on BTN To Go for mobile users. The 30-minute show will air a total of 30 times this upcoming week. Michigan and football coach Jim Harbaugh, get this, agreed to a contract amendment that will increase total payments from the school to $9 million in 2016. In addition to paying a $5 million salary for each of the remaining 6 years on Harbaugh's deal, Michigan also will loan Harbaugh $4 million in 2016 in addition to $2 million for the following 5 years to pay the premium on a life insurance policy for Harbaugh. Now, the first $2 million loan, was made on June 3rd, according to reports obtained Wednesday via FOIA request. Each additional $2 million payment will be made in December, starting later this year. Harbaugh was the second highest paid coach in college football last year. So, yeah, dollar bill, y'all, for Jim Harbaugh. Gotta love that. All right. Sage Jenko sizzled a tie-breaking RBI single into center field in the top of the 11th inning, and the Great Lakes Loons bested the Lansing Lugnuts for the third straight day, 3-2 on Wednesday night at Cooley Law School Stadium. Now, the Lugnuts lead over the Loons for the second and final Eastern Division playoff berth, now stands at just 1.5 games with 18 games left to play in the regular season. The Loons go for the four-game sweep in Lansing at 7:05 p.m. tonight. Justin Mace starts for the Lugnuts tonight. Make it three straight losses for the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers lost 4-1 to the Kansas City Royals last night, completing the sweep. Eric Hosmer, not satisfied with breaking up Anibal Sanchez's bid for a perfect game and later a no-hitter, he dealt Detroit a decisive blow with a tie-breaking two-run homer in the ninth, sending KC to a 4-1 dub on Wednesday night at Comerica Park. The win handed the Royals their first sweep of the Tigers in Detroit since 2008, 8 years ago. The Royals had the Tigers to one run in each of the three games, the first time Detroit has scored one or no runs in three consecutive games against the same team since 2014 against the Angels. Wednesday's loss kept the Tigers 6 games behind the Cleveland Indians in the American League Central and 3.5 games behind the second AL wildcard spot. Boston, leading the wildcard race, is coming to town for a 4-game series beginning in just a matter of minutes, 3 minutes to be exact. Matt Boyd gets the start for the Tigers. We will keep you updated on that game throughout this hour. Preseason game number 2 takes place tonight for the Detroit Lions at 7:30 p.m. on Fox. The Lions will play host to the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that includes former Michigan State linebacker and captain and also former current sports production assistant, Mr. Darian Harris. We'll have the what to watch for concerning tonight's exhibition later on in the show. Don't miss that. All right, it has been announced that an evening with Irvin Magic Johnson is scheduled for Friday, September 23rd in Flint, Michigan. Now, the Flint Community Schools and Johnson Sodexo Magic Food Company are hosting the event from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Gateway Center. In 2014, the Flint School District outsourced its food service to using Sodexo Magic. The Board of Education approved the $3.36 million contract as a way to save moolah. And get this, folks. Last but certainly not least, Ryan Lochte and three of his U.S. Olympic swimming teammates fabricated the story about being robbed at gunpoint that became international news at the Rio de Janeiro Games, according to ABC. Now, video shows the U.S. swimmer breaking down a bathroom door and fighting security at a gas station around the time the robbery allegedly occurred. Now, a security guard drew a gun at the U.S. swimmers after they drunkenly destroyed a gas station toilet and refused to pay for the damage. That's according to the British Daily Mail. But the swimmers then paid. We will have more on that story coming up right now. If you want to be a part of the conversation, call in 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Here we go.
Fillmore is proud to welcome back some old friends with a brand new name, A Band of Gypsies.
before he was robbed at gunpoint, saying overnight, "We are safe and unharmed," telling Today's Billy Bush in an exclusive interview, the robbers pretended to be police.
And we got pulled over in our taxi, and these guys came out with a badge, a police badge. No lights, no nothing, just a police badge. They pulled us over, they pulled out their guns, they told the other swimmers to get down on the ground, they got down on the ground.
Forced to the ground, says Lochte, Team USA's Gunnar Bentz, Jack Conger, and Jimmy Fagan, who've been celebrating with him.
I refused. I was like, we didn't do anything wrong, so I'm not getting down on the ground. And then the guy pulled out his gun, he cocked it, put it to my forehead, and said, get down. And I was like, I put my hands up, I was like, whatever. He took our money, he took my wallet.
Witnesses say Ryan Lochte left Club France in the early hours of the morning and got in a cab. They had bought popcorn just outside the club and looked normal, she says, then heading home to the athlete's village.
Somewhere on this route, Lochte says he and his three teammates were forced off the road.
It was near a gas station, the swimmers handing over money.
They don't know.
Yes, and that is how we start this afternoon's current sports. Yeah, none of us knew. None of us knew that this story concerning Ryan Lochte and three other swimmers getting robbed at gunpoint, none of us knew that it was false. This is such a crazy story, and first off, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Al Martin. Phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR. And quick trivia here, Isaac, because, man, I've been waiting for a moment where I get to play this song because I work out to this album just about every day, dude. So quick trivia. Do you know who this is?
I couldn't even give you a logical guess.
I tell you
not
what,
even
man.
Educated.
They are one of the greatest rock bands, in my opinion, of all time, and one of the most underrated rock bands of all time. And I just throw it out there. If someone knows who this is, I may have something for them. I'm in a giving mood today. If someone knows who this artist is, who this band is, I may have something for you. Just throwing it out there. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Going back to Lochte now, man, I feel bad for that reporter whose voice you just heard, because he just wasted a bunch of time, a ton of time out there in Rio. I watched the report. That's from NBC's coverage of the incident in which American swimmer Ryan Lochte claimed that he was robbed at gunpoint. He was in a taxi headed back to the Olympic Village after a night on the town with his homies, and all of a sudden, a few men posing as law enforcement officials, they come to the taxi with guns, order them all to get out the car, and they rob him at gunpoint. And Lochte, listen to the interview with NBC. Lochte even went as far as to say that dude pulled out a gun and actually cocked it and put it against his forehead and said, get on the ground. I mean, just this totally elaborate, detailed story about getting robbed in Rio de Janeiro. And he said that the robbers, they took Lochte's wallet, and he took they took the cash of the other three men that were with Lochte. As this story has gone along, and I must first off issue an apology to a few members of the IOC, because when this story first came out, I remember I chastised the IOC for claiming that the story was false initially and being very reluctant to say that, yes, this did happen. And I went off and really spoke off emotion, because I've detailed since the Olympic Games have started, just of the corruption and the heinous situations that are taking place out in Rio, and why the Olympic Games shouldn't even have been held out there in the first place. They're going through so much. And I spoke off emotion as an IOC member came out and said, you know what, this ain't true. This did not happen, all right? And, you know, as it came out more and more, and then I saw the interview with Ryan Lochte, it looked like it was. But Isaac and myself, we were actually moments away from entering Michigan State football practice to talk to Coach D'Antonio. And Isaac gets a notification on his phone via the Bleacher Report that the entire story was made up. Totally false. Absolutely false. And I just want to put in perspective really quick just how serious this is. I mean, when you make up a story like this and file a false police report, I mean, you could get some jail time and you could pay a hefty fine. This is very, very serious. And the story gets even more intriguing because U.S. swimmers, Gunnar Bentz and Jack Conger, they were actually on a plane getting ready to head back to America until all of a sudden Rio officials, they say, uh-uh, that's not happened. And they were both detained by police at the Rio de Janeiro airport. And they have been detained for questioning to read more into the incident. When it comes to the man who has really made this whole thing elaborate and added details as to what happened, which turned out to be false, when it comes to Mr. Silver-haired Ryan Lochte, he's back chilling like a villain in America. He's in America while his homies, Gunnar Bentz, Jack Conger, and also James Fagan, who appears to be in Brazil as well, they are all three of his homies who were with him that night are in Brazil while he's back in America. How crazy is that, right? Lochte is, you know, this is a classic example of a man. I mean, Ryan Lochte is 32 years old, all right? This is a 32-year-old man and his buddies really acting like children, okay? They wanted to have a night of fun. You know, they leave Olympic Village. They're out there partying. It's all over Lochte's Snapchat. And I'll get to social media as well. I think social media has a lot to do with this as well. But they're out partying, having a night of fun. It's all over Lochte's Snapchat. They get into some trouble afterwards. And they decided to use the noted troubles in Rio as a way out. I just don't get that. First off, it's 2016, folks. Cameras are everywhere, all right? And it said that, you know, there's video of Ryan Lochte getting into it with security, you know, at a gas station, I believe. And there's video of that incident, and, you know, in which Lochte and the three swimmers, they mess up a toilet, and security pulls out a gun because they're getting too riled up. Crazy stuff. There's video said to be of that. And the video has a timestamp right around the same time that Lochte made the claim that himself and the three other American swimmers were robbed by, you know, men posing as Rio de Janeiro policemen. So you're caught, you know, he's caught red-handed here. And Lochte, of course, has not made a statement just yet. I mean, I think his latest tweet is something about his hair going back from silver to blonde or brunette. I mean, whatever he was before he turned to silver. I think that was his latest tweet. So he hasn't made a comment, and justifiably so, about this whole thing blowing up in his face. And, you know, it's just an odd situation now because, you know, Lochte looks like a really shiesty dude because of him being back in America, and the three guys who he was with that night, Conger, Bitts, and Fagan, still in Brazil and having to go through rigorous questioning and just having to really face the music at the same time. And Brazilian officials don't have the authority to say, hey, you need to give him back to us because we got some business to handle. That is not happening. But it's so unfortunate that this story comes out now because what? we have 3 days left of the Olympic Games. The closing ceremony takes place on Sunday night. This is a headline that will constantly divert attention from the actual games in the coming days. All right? And the story gets even more intriguing here because, you know, Lochte's mom also is her name is also involved in the story. It's being said that Lochte initially wasn't going to say anything about what happened, but his, you know, and he told his mom that, you know, he was held at gunpoint and that people were posing as police officers and that he got robbed. And he told his mom, and what really set this thing off was that his mother told the media. Mama opened her mouth in first. She was the first one to relay it to the media. So Lochte was hoping and praying that it wouldn't gain any steam, but it did. And Lochte was really forced to come out and make something up. He had to, what I like to call, he had to die with the lie. Seeing as though he told his mom this story. So I'm curious to know what you think about this whole thing. You know, what do you think should happen to Ryan Lochte as well as Jack Conger, Gunnar Bentz, and James Fagan? They're going to have to face the music here. You know, they're going to have to either serve some jail time or they're going to have to pay a hefty fine. I think they're going to have to pay a hefty fine just because, you know, these are American swimmers. They're representing the United States of America here. And I don't know if Brazil wants to go that far with it. I just don't know. And it's funny because people are tweeting about the authorities out in Rio, and because, you know, Rio has noted crime right now. You know, political unrest, crime left and right, water pollution. I mean, there are a lot of bad things happening out in Rio de Janeiro right now. And people are tweeting about the authorities out in Rio, how they will investigate this situation fully. But what about all of the other crimes that happen in Rio on a daily basis that don't get any attention? So it's a catch-22 here as well. So many different layers to this conversation. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Oh, I'm very shocked. I'm looking here right now. We have a caller on line one. His name is Walt from Jackson. And I put out there, I played a song for our intro leading into this conversation concerning Ryan Lochte and the fabricated story. And I said, hey, if someone knows this song, I may have something for him. And Walt from Jackson says that he knows this song and he knows the artist who produced that song. So first off, Walt, how you doing, my man? Thanks so much for calling in. Welcome to Current Sports.
Well, you're very welcome.
So, Walt, I will be very impressed if you know who this artist is. You want to take a shot at it?
Well, I'm an old guy. I think that's Jimi Hendrix.
You are very right. And a lot of people could pick out that. But the reason what makes this so difficult is because Jimi Hendrix, when he first started his career with the Experience, he had a break in his career where he joined a certain band. And that's the band that I played to start the show. It's too easy just to say Jimi here. Do you know what band that was, though?
Band of Gypsies?
Oh, boy, you knocked it out of the park. Not many people know that. Walt, hang on the line. Isaac is going to get your contact information. We will have something for you, my man. Thanks so much.
Okay, have a good shift.
All right. Wow, I'm very nobody knows that. So, Isaac, yeah, get his phone number and email. I will contact him later this week. I got something for Walt. That's very, very impressive. Again, we're talking about the whole Ryan Lochte and, you know, a swimmer story concerning how Ryan Lochte made up a story about him getting robbed out in Brazil. It turns out it's not true whatsoever. What do you think should be done to Ryan Lochte and the three accompanying swimmers? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports, and you can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. While we're taking your calls and before we hit our first break, I want to give you guys an Olympic update in case you miss any of the action that took place last night out in Rio. All right, folks, last night in the 200-meter semis, Usain Bolt just cruised, all right? He always does. He found himself, though, challenged. It wasn't easy. It wasn't usually easy for Usain Bolt last night. He found himself challenged by a 21-year-old Canadian by the name of Andre DeGrasse, causing the Jamaican sprinting legend to look over, smile, and push a little harder to win the heat. Now, DeGrasse said it was all part of his plan. You can catch the final between those two tonight on NBC primetime coverage. That was pretty cool to see, too. Bolt, you know, he was on one side, and then all of a sudden, Andre comes up to his right, and they're just smiling at each other as they both cross the finish line. Pretty cool stuff. So, again, that final will take place tonight, the 200-meter final, in which Usain Bolt won, of course, 4 years ago out in London. Things went awfully well for the U.S. women's track and field team last night. First, Tiana Bartoletta leaped 7.17 meters to win the women's long jump. That's 23 feet, 6 1/4 inches. Bumping fellow American and reigning champ Brittany Reese to silver. Then, breakout star Tori Bowie took bronze in the 200 meters to become the first American runner with two medals in Rio. Lastly came the big finale, which I'm sure many of you out there saw, an unprecedented show of dominance in the 100 hurdles. Breonna Rollins, Nia Ali, Christy Caslin finished 1-2-3 to sweep the podium for the United States. What a moment it was as they all donned the United States flag and pose for a picture. Smiles everywhere. Unbelievable. So congratulations to Rollins, Ali, and Caslin for that. Just remarkable moment. Gotta love that. USA Basketball, drawing criticism and concern after a bumpy ride in group play, they rose to the occasion in elimination play to clobber Argentina 105-78 in the quarterfinals. Kevin Durant led the Americans with 27 points. On the losing side, Manu Ginobili of Argentina got emotional as he faced the end of his international career, which featured a gold medal, if you remember, back in 2004. Coming up next, 2008 and 2012 silver medalist Spain, who just dominated France. Spain is a very good team that could sneak up on this USA men's basketball squad. The gold medal watch is set for men's soccer, with host Brazil set to face Germany just 2 years after a historic, humiliating 7-1 loss in the World Cup semis. Brazil earned itself a chance at redemption with a 6-0 win against Honduras. Neymar scored twice for Brazil, including the opener. Get this, just 15 seconds into the match, the fastest goal in Olympic history. We have to bring up this, right? Defending Olympic champ Clarissa Shields pounded her way to a unanimous decision victory over Russian Iroslava Lakushina in women's middleweight boxing quarterfinal Wednesday, guaranteeing her at least a bronze and giving U.S. its third boxing medal of the Rio Olympics. She will fight Dariga Shakhmova of Kazakhstan on Friday at 2:30 p.m. in the semifinals. That wraps up your Olympic update. Let's hit our first break of the show. When we come back, we will talk about Michigan State football. Mark D'Antonio, again, addressed the media right before this morning's practice. Hear what Coach D had to say and so much more coming right up on today's Current Sports. Also want to bring this story to you all. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished an Olympic update, and the United States will rerun for a spot in the women's 4x100-meter relay final today, following a botched handover between Allison Felix and English Gardner on the far side of the track during a preliminary heat. I actually watched that right before I came down to do the show in my office. The U.S. team finished the heat in last place. The Dutch team was also out. Allyson Felix, she protested that she was bumped, and the baton actually hit the ground as Gardner and Felix crashed into each other. Gardner held her head in desperation as Felix went to pick up the baton and hand it over. So there was a bump that happened, and it was protested by Felix and the team. And the International Association of Athletic Federation said the U.S. will need to run faster than 42.70 to bump China for the final. So a little bit of drama there, and also a gut-wrenching just story that angers you at the end of the day. I saw this around 12:30. Former NFL star Darren Sharper has been sentenced to 18 years in prison in a case where he was accused of drugging and raping as many as 16 women in 4 states. Judge Jane Trich Malzado sentenced Sharper today. He had pleaded guilty or no contest to charges arising from the allegations of drugging and raping women in federal court in New Orleans and state courts in Louisiana, Arizona, California, and Nevada. Prosecutors suggested a 9-year prison term for Sharper under a multi-jurisdictional plea deal, but Milazzato rejected it as too lenient in June. The sentence was 15 months short of the maximum. He was also fined $20,000. Just a story that when you look at, you know, how over the years, this is a man who was a star in the NFL. He also, after his playing career, he worked as an NFL analyst, NFL network analyst. And, you know, he played 14 years in the NFL. But then when he was working for the NFL analyst with the NFL network, you know, women began telling police in several cities similar stories of blacking out while drinking with Sharper and waking up groggy to find that they had been sexually abused. So he gets 18 years for these different cases that span across multiple states. And there are many who would even say that's a bit too light. I mean, when you talk about the emotional damage that you do to a woman, when you take something as precious as that, when you rape a woman, I mean, that is just unfathomable. And 18 years, some would even argue, and I would probably argue that as well, that may be even a little bit too light, to be honest with you. So just a sick man, a sick human being put behind bars where he needs to be. Simple as that. Darren Sharper, just one senile dude. All right, moving forward, folks, I mentioned at the top of the hour, we went out to Michigan State football practice this morning. And again, a reminder, you know, I'm really looking forward to this on the Big Ten Network tonight as Green and White Days will premiere episode 1 following the Michigan State football team. It's sort of like, for those who are fans of the Hard Knocks series that HBO Sports does, where they pick an NFL team every single year, a new team every single year, and they follow that NFL team throughout training camp leading up to the regular season. That's what's being done with the Michigan State football season on the Big Ten Network tonight. So you get to hear these cool behind-the-scenes stories, these personal stories, and get a different look than your normal 6, 11 o'clock, and heck, even daily radio show spiel about the team. So that will premiere tonight. But myself, along with engineer Isaac Constance, we took a trip out to the Scandalera Center in the Duffy Daugherty building where, of course, the Michigan State football team practices. We took a trip out there, and Mark D'Antonio addressed the media on the heels of today's practice. And, you know, it was pretty cool, and it kind of a light moment because we walk in there, and I immediately start to hear the Temptations playing, and then after that, you start to hear a little bit of Marvin Gaye. And it's funny because Mark D'Antonio addressed it, and he's saying, yeah, you know, today is Motown Thursday. So we thought we'd have fun with this snippet here and rolling a little bit of Marvin Gaye while also hearing a bit of what Coach Mark D'Antonio had to say. And what he's first going to address is the story surrounding Cassius Pete, which I brought at the, during our quick hit headliners. Now, Michigan State coach Mark D'Antonio, he shed light at the football practice facility today concerning Pete, who has not been in fall camp. Pete is a 6'3", 270-pound player from Arizona. He has not been suspended from the team, and in a mix with Marvin Gaye, you'll get to hear Mark D'Antonio first address Pete, and also Ed Davis, who is still awaiting approval for a sixth year of eligibility with the football program. So here's what Coach D had to say. Marvin Gaye, take it away.
Yeah, you know, some of our guys, first of all, just because you're on scholarship doesn't guarantee you're in camp. That's number one. Number two is some guys got to take care of some academic issues. And then the third thing is, sometimes people got to make transition. So right now, he's sort of in flux right now. He's not been suspended or anything like that. Giving him opportunity to work on his academics and sort of get himself in order. Well, you just heard it. He hasn't practiced. But you guys never really noticed. No, he's not practiced. Not been in camp.
Is it today the day that you'll begin to find the process with Ed Davis?
Summer school's over today, so we should, as soon as, everything. I'm not sure of the process, but, he should be good.
Have you had a guy get a 6 year at this late, have you?
No, that hasn't happened like this, but in this case, it's, playing it out.
Mark, for the process for Ed, have you guys already started it, or did you have to wait until school ended?
Well, it's already been, I think it's all set. It goes through our compliance people. It's all set. So it just has to, once everything's in, I think what has to happen is for us to run the process. Now, the process could take a day, could take an hour, I'm not sure. But we expect it to be quick.
In terms of working him back in, the weird schedule you guys have this year where you get to bye early, does that sort of help in his case?
That'll help a lot with him because he's going to need to, he had knee surgery and everything, so he needs to get his confidence back to play. But he's a very, very good player, very good person. He's worked hard to get to this point, so looking forward to seeing him on the field.
What does his addition mean to the linebacker group? I mean, that's obviously a crowded field as it is right now.
More depth, but the guy's been a starter for us, been a big play guy for us, so I would expect him to get involved pretty quick. But again, he's got to transition back to that point.
Like, is this the point in camp you start seeing some of the younger guys hit that wall a little bit and they got to play through that?
Yeah, I think everybody hits the wall a little bit. Everybody's nicked up, banged up a little bit. I think that's the nature of it. So we've got to be able to push through those things, and that's the point of emphasis right now, is to make it through today's practice, and we will scrimmage tomorrow based on the weather and everything, so on Saturday, so we'll go tomorrow, but I think that's the way it is all over America.
Kind of things you want to see out of them in scrimmage too?
I think you're always looking for execution offensively and defensively. You want to see guys play in space offensively and defensively. We'll work our special teams and try and present situations to them that that they're going to encounter in the games. But trying to make it as game-like as we can as we go through this. But put together drives. I think one of the things we need to do is to have our guys play long periods of a drive, 9-10 play drives, those type of things. The fact that we win a 22-play drive at the championship game last year is just when you think about that, it's almost overwhelming. But good singers out here.
Who's DJ today?
I don't know. It's Motown Thursday.
Wait, the separation. I mean, do you see more separation here in scrimmage two, maybe than scrimmage one, the position back?
Probably, but we've got some young players. Guys that are making their move on the defensive line. Young players, Josh King. Austin Robertson, Panasuk. Those guys are going to probably end up playing for us because you see them getting better and better as every practice. And even when you look back at last week's scrimmage on Saturday, where we're at on Thursday, they're completely different players right now. So they're making a move in that respect. And you know, Kenny likes a guy that has continued to impress us. We're deep at safety a little bit, but and there you have it. That's a wrap. Thanks, guys.
I tell you, Current Sports, the only place where you can hear the head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, his voice mixed in with a little bit of Marvin Gaye. Gotta love that, right? So, again, that's what Coach D had to say this morning before he manned his team at yet another training camp. And, you know, you get in this point, you know, and I feel like a lot of journalists feel this way, and a lot of our listeners probably feel this way as well. You know, you get to a point where, you know, you have these different media availabilities week after week after week. And as a media member, and like Coach D said, you hit a wall where it's kind of just repetitive. You know, we've heard how deep this team is. We've heard about the influx of young talent, and more specifically, Donnie Corley. Everybody wants to see Donnie Corley out there, the freshman receiver from Detroit. We've heard about that. We've heard about, you know, how deep the defensive line is. We've heard about the quarterback battle, and it looks like it's Tyler O'Connor's job to lose. We even talked about that with MLive's Kyle Austin at the beginning of this week. You get a point where everything kind of is just repetitive. So when it comes to the new information that you just heard throughout that snippet, really, it concerns two individuals. Again, defensive lineman Cassius Pete, currently not in camp. His status is in flux right now. He has not been suspended. It looks as though it's just sort of a thing where he has to work out things academically, okay? Pete remains on the Michigan State roster and on scholarship. And I thought that Mark D'Antonio did a great job of breaking down a few points here. Number one, quote, just because you're on scholarship does not mean, you know, you're in camp, okay? That's number one. Also, number two, quote, some guys have to take care of some academic issues. And then the third thing is, sometimes people have to make transitions. So right now, he's sort of in flux, end quote. He's just adjusting to Big Ten football, all right? And Pete, you know, three-star prospect from AZ, enrolled at Michigan State last summer, redshirted, if you remember, as a 2015 freshman, and was listed as a second-team defensive tackle on the 2016 preseason depth chart. Also, Ed Davis, he's the other new revelation, if you can call it that, that we learned about today when concerning Ed Davis. When is he going to be able to get back on the field? Or when will we know that the NCAA has approved him coming back for a sixth year of eligibility? Davis was, you know, he's scheduled to complete his summer classes today. Should he pass, Michigan State would then need to apply for a waiver for a sixth year of eligibility with the NCAA on his behalf. D'Antonio says he does expect that process to happen, quote, quickly. So those are my takeaways, though, wise guy. I just feel like we get into a point where we're just like, yeah, been there, done that, heard that. Let's play some football.
Yeah, exactly. You asked the same question so many times, you can't expect a different answer, and that's what we saw. I always enjoy watching the interactions of players during practices. You get a pretty good feel of who's the leaders of the team and just seeing the different interpersonal relations between these different guys. And one thing I saw that was cool was Tyler O'Connor run onto the field and dap off Mark D'Antonio. That was just a funny moment. And I think it is clear right now that Tyler O'Connor, as D'Antonio has said himself, is in the driver's seat. The other thing is, Riley Bulla is such a captain of that defense. And seeing how he's progressed over his years in terms of his ability to, effectively communicate himself with members of his team and with the media has been incredible. He was complaining this entire practice that the music was too loud, especially when the music was not playing. So he was in a lighthearted mood, just joking around.
Oh, was he serious? So he wasn't serious about
the music
being too
wasn't
loud.
Even on the speakers. He just said, that music's too loud. I can't hear myself think.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
And so, with it being Motown Thursdays, I actually heard one player. I don't know who it was, but somebody was singing Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell's Ain't No Mountain High. I don't know who that was, but pretty fun stuff. Let's go to line one right now. Do we have a caller right now? I believe we had Isaac saying no. I thought we had Camilla from we have Camilla from Lansing on right now. Is Camilla from Lansing on line one? Welcome to Current Sports. We got her, Camilla?
Yeah, this is Camilla. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you. Welcome to Current Sports. What's on your mind, Camilla? Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, I was calling about the Olympics with the Lochte situation, you're saying what we think should happen with that?
Yeah, yeah.
I think Federation or something like that oversee the Olympics for America. I think they should, I think they really owe the real apology. And I think America should send Lochte back over there. And I think that they all should actually go to jail because that was pretty messed up. Because, and I also feel that way because on so many occasions, like we had the one guy who was doing study abroad, and he got in a hotel and defaced those people's pictures. And people feel like because we come from America, we can just go anywhere and act, do whatever we want to do.
I didn't hear that story. Did you hear that story, Isaac?
I have not.
What story is that, Camille?
No, it was not. It's not in sports. It was a student. He was doing study abroad. I can't remember where he was at, but they were in they were doing study abroad. They was in a hotel, and he took a picture off their wall or defaced it or something like that, and they arrested him. Mm. And people was like, "Well, why would they arrest him? Because just because you're American don't mean you could just go and do whatever you want to do."
Mm. So you feel like a lot of Americans are a bit entitled when they go overseas.
Yeah, and so I think they should go back and do a fine and some jail time because sometimes as Americans we have to learn that rules do apply to us when we go other places, and for them to just go in there and then lie about it. Because, I mean, I think Rio's been doing a pretty good job with the Olympics. Until we heard that story, it was like, oh, my God. And then it was the police or acting police or something like that. That was horrible. And I think as Americans, I mean, I'm embarrassed. And I wasn't over there, and I don't have anything to do with the story, but I'm embarrassed. So I really think that America should send Lochte back over there, and all of them should go to jail.
It's a very serious offense. Camille, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that.
Yep.
And yeah, Isaac, I mean, it's one of those situations where it's not fair for Lochte, first off, not to face the music because he's the man who went on the Today Show and had this interview where he said, where he details a horrifying incident where, you know, he has a gun cocked to his forehead and none of it's true. You know, he really added logs to the fire once the story came out. And his face was plastered everywhere. And now he's chilling like a villain on some couch here in America while the three other swimmers, you know, Jack Conger, Gunnar Bentz, and James Fagan are in Rio getting questioned left and right from the authorities over there. Not fair whatsoever. And I really do think that Ryan Lochte needs to return to Brazil and really, you know, face this whole situation in the eyes.
He definitely should. He knew that his actions and his incongruities between the different spoken word accounts that he gave of the situation portended this. That's why he got out early. Most Olympic athletes, at least to my knowledge, even after their event's over, they stick around. They watch their fellow teammates compete and vote for their countrymen and women. And that's probably how you should go about it. I think Ryan Lochte knew the second the first story slipped out of his mouth and got so much attention,
right,
I've made a huge mistake.
To his mom. Yeah. Here's the thing. You know, I think that, you know, he was so upset, you know, because they were idiots. You know, they said something like they messed up a toilet. And this whole ruckus ensues where security is involved and he's getting violent with them and it's all caught on camera and security pulls out a gun on him. And he was so angry about it that he wanted to get back. I mean, maybe he was intoxicated at the time. Who knows? But he went and told mama this story about, how he was, you know, robbed at gunpoint. And his mom going to the media, that's what started it. His mom went to the media. And of course, why wouldn't you think a story like that wouldn't get blown up and be headline news? As soon as it got to a certain point where it was impossible to avoid, Lochte said, "You know what? I gotta die with the lie now." I mean, I'm hoping and I'm praying that there were no cameras around that they can prove that this was false. But I've gotta die with the lie. It's already out there. It's too big now. It's become too big. I'm in this storm. I gotta roll with it. And you know, he really rolled with it, to say the least. So, yeah, but at the same time, he's got to face the music. It's not fair that the three swimmers who were with Lochte that night, who didn't go on the Today Show and really add more details to it, it's not fair that they're being questioned and he's not. Something has to be done. But again, this is a story, and this is the point I want to make. It's so unfortunate that this is a story that is going to dominate headlines the next 3 days, other than Usain Bolt going out there for another gold in the 200 meters or you know, Clarissa Shields going out there and trying to make history between the ropes and boxing. I mean, this is a story that, you know, people here in America salivate at the mouth for. You know what I mean? They love drama like this, and it's so unfortunate. Let's hit a brief second break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Detroit Lions exhibition number two, preseason game number two against the Cincinnati Bengals. Things to watch. What to watch for with the Lions tonight and also the Detroit Tigers. Ugh. Need I say more? I will. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Less than 5 minutes left. You want to call in and get a quick call in? Anything on your sports noggin, please do. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What in the world is going on with the Detroit Tigers? You know, I was one of those guys, though. I said this. I made this statement, okay? I warned all of you out there not to get too high when the Tigers were the clear hot team in Major League Baseball, when they went on that eight-game win streak, had everybody hopping on the bandwagon. Finally, this team is reaching the potential that we all saw before the season started. Eight-game win streak. You know, baseball year is like a roller coaster. You're going to have highs. You're going to have lows. And how those highs and lows vary differentiate depending on the team. The Tigers had a great high. Eight-game win streak, everything going well, but then the injury bug totally has turned that story around. They're not going to catch the Cleveland Indians, and the Tigers completely just wasted, just balled it up and threw it in the garbage. Just a great effort, a great bid from Anibal Sanchez last night. You know, Sanchez actually took a no-hit bid into the seventh inning. But the Tigers going to lose their third straight game to the Kansas City Royals. They got swept by the Royals 4-1 last night at Comerica Park. The only run the Tigers scored came on a homer in the second inning by Victor Martinez. It was his 22nd homer of the season. And Eric Hosmer, I mean, he was the guy that spoiled the no-hit bid. And then it's all tied up, you know, late in the game, ninth inning. And Eric Hosmer hits the go-ahead homer, just completely just breaks up things and says, hey, take that, Tigers, sweep. You're swept. I'm not surprised, though, just based off when you look at the roster and look at the names that are on the DL right now, and look at the names that are hurt, including Miguel Cabrera, who's still battling that left bicep strain. It don't look good for the Tigers. Simple as that. Simple as that, folks. So we'll have more on the Detroit Tigers tomorrow. I'm pretty sure many of you don't want to waste any more time talking about what's wrong with the Tigers. It's clear. This team right now is struggling even to make a wild card bid right now. They would take on the Boston Red Sox. Actually, that game is going on right now. I want to give you guys a quick update. And the Tigers actually have a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the second. Matt Boyd is your man right now on the mound. So we'll have more on the Tigers tomorrow. The Lions and Bengals embark on preseason game number two at Ford Field tonight. A few things that I will be watching for. First off, hey, shout out to former Michigan State football captain, great linebacker with the team last year, and hey, former production assistant here at Current Sports, Darian Harris. I've been following Darian on his Snapchat, and you know, he arrived in Detroit, I believe, yesterday, and the team actually had a pretty cool screening of the new movie Ben-Hur. So I'm looking forward to seeing if Darian can turn some heads and really pad his stock as he tries to make the Cincinnati Bengals roster. Also, Darius Slay can make his preseason debut tonight after sitting out last week's game on Friday against the Steelers. Slay was signed to a four-year contract extension last month that made him the seventh highest paid corner in the game. He had his hands full with, of course, Antonio Brown. If you remember, you know, the joint practice that took place, and Slay afterwards said that, man, Antonio Brown is just a different beast. I mean, Antonio basically embarrassed him during that joint session practice. But Slay is one of the best corners in the game. Looking forward to seeing if he gets out on the field. And also, undrafted rookies Quinshon Davis and Jay Lee had birth turn heads at times throughout this preseason, on Friday at least. And they are in the mix for backup receiver jobs. Those are a few names for me. Isaac, anything you're looking forward to tonight?
Yeah, definitely. I want to see Zach Center, Theo Riddick, and Steven Ridley all show off what they've got in terms of the leg game against the second best scoring defense across the NFL last year. So I think it'll be really interesting. And of course, that directly plays into the Darian Harris angle of this as well, where it's going to be one versus the other. Also, Jake Rudolph had such an impressive first outing as the backup QB for the Lions. I'm interested to see if he can replicate that.
Definitely. And, folks, unfortunately, this will be my final time this week here on Current Sports. Isaac, well, we're still debating now. It looks like you're going to fill in for him tomorrow. It looks like that, but we may have a pre-record. We haven't announced that yet. Keep it locked to our Facebook and Twitter pages for that. But I have a funeral to go tomorrow, unfortunately, down in Detroit. So, Isaac will be manning the fort. So I will talk to you all on Monday's Current Sports. Until then, as always, have a fantastic afternoon. Have a safe weekend. Take care and be easy, people.